Hey, it's Melvin. Before we jump into today's podcast session, just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Alma for supporting today's podcast session. If I ever went back into private practice, to be honest, I'd think less about squeezing in more clients and more about building the systems within that practice that actually supports the life that I want to live. As you know, when you're in private practice, it's rarely about just seeing clients. It's all of the other administrative things that often consume the most time. In fact, after now 11 years of building STC, I've learned that sustainability isn't just about the work that you do, it's how you go about doing it. That is why I'd seriously consider partnering with Alma. They help you confidently accept insurance, and their all-in-one EHR simplifies everything from scheduling to documentation to the most important thing, which is getting paid on a timely manner. You can learn more and check it out over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. And if you go through that link, STC listeners get 2 months absolutely free so that you can see if it makes sense for your practice. That's over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you are doing well and having an incredible day. So you have likely heard, especially if you are thinking about creating an online course or you already have one out in the world, there's this phrase that a lot of folks you'll hear, which is, you know, if you make really good content for your online course, they'll come. But the reality is that is rarely true in practice. I have seen so many talented colleagues create powerful, research-backed, very meaningful courses, but they almost get no traction or very little traction. I've had the incredible privilege of being a course creator since 2015 and a teacher since 2022, helping our colleagues create and launch their online courses as well as grow their online courses. And I have learned a very simple thing, which is content is one part of the equation. Completion, clarity, and connection are what builds a real course business. And that's what we're going to explore today. More specifically, why most online courses fail, even if the content inside those online courses are really good. The 3 points that I want to share just here at the top is, one, the most important video isn't what you think. Second, most course creators spend about 80% of their energy in the wrong place. Three, you're competing with everything and not just with other online courses or other courses. And we also have a bonus tip for you in order to make sure that you're courses do get sold. So let's jump right in. So the number one point that I wanted to share is the most important video isn't what you think. So for most of us, when we create our online course, and I know this is true for me, and honestly, I have to check myself and I fall into this trap, which is I try to over-optimize for the actual videos within the online course, which of course is very important. But here's the reality. The most important video isn't actually the content that's within our online course. The most important video is the one right after they purchase. See, most of us, again, we obsess over these teaching modules, but that first impression video, the short welcome message, is actually the most important. And if you even look at your analytics, it's the one that you will notice is likely the most viewed video in your entire online course category. And if you don't have a welcome video, I definitely recommend and suggest that you create one. Here is an example of just what I would say. I would say, hey, it's Melvin. First of all, thank you. I know how precious trust is in this online space. You choosing to invest your hard-earned time and your hard-earned money means so much to me. We have designed this course to be valuable and respectable to you and to your time. And so we've made these very short and easy, but if there is something that we have not seen, right? Or I even say something like, if anything feels unclear, please email me I'm definitely not an expert. I am definitely learning alongside of you. So if something, I could have explained something a little bit better, please don't hesitate to email me. And that, you know, just a little thing like that, what I have found is, especially in this online age, we're increasingly focused on things like scale and things like that, which is, of course, important, right? Creating one piece of content, it's serving many, many people at one time. But the thing that we forget is, at the end of the day, it's a lot of one-to-one connections with people that ultimately makes the success of our online course. Having a first impression video or a welcome video, it does a few things. One is reinforces the emotional connection that led to the sale, right? So typically, someone who is purchasing your online course feels a human connection to you. They know that, you know, they probably had multiple options in order to learn about that topic, but they chose you for that reason. The other reason a video is beneficial is it calms refund fears by reinforcing that relational trust, not content overwhelm. And then the third reason is it invites the student to reach out. So it keeps that human connection open. So even if they go through the video and there's like certain parts where they may watch a video and they're like, oh, that wasn't very clear about like, what were you trying to say there? They know that they can reach out to me. And I will actually usually create like a Loom or a Tele video just to kind of explain things to them if something is missing. Now, if I keep seeing that over and over again, it's definitely an indicator for me to actually change up or add a video or subtract a video or re-record a video in order to make that a little bit more easy to understand. The second point is most course creators spend 80% of the energy in the wrong place. This one is really hard to hear, particularly because we put our heart and soul into our online courses. There's definitely a vulnerability that's involved. I think about my podcasting course. You know, I had all of these fears of like, who am I to be teaching podcasting? I created a podcasting course about 6 months into my podcasting journey. And I had all sorts of imposter things. And I kept thinking, wow, there's so many others who've been here so much longer than me. And, you know, that, to be honest, like overwhelmed me. And so what that actually motivated me to do is, you know, I built slides, I obsessed over the course platform that we should pick, whether, you know, and I tried to polish every module, you know, and what I came to realize is I was optimizing for the wrong thing. A mentor once told me, it's not 80% content, 20% promotion. It's the other way around. In other words, if you don't actually share and promote your course, no one gets the chance to benefit from it. So this is what I would do instead. One is design simple evergreen funnels that sell your online course directly through your website. By and large, like we have rarely had somebody buy our online course without providing some sort of high value on the front end. Before we jump back into today's podcast session, if you're in solo private practice, you already know the highs and the lows. 1 month you're full, the next month referrals start to trickle down and slow down. You're juggling therapy and admin and marketing. And if you're private pay, you're constantly wondering where the next client is coming from. If I ever went back into private practice, honestly, I would build a little bit differently. I'd focus less on being everything and more on creating systems that support me and ultimately don't drain me. Because if I do that, then I show up better for my clients and better for my loved ones. That's why, honestly, I'd seriously consider checking out Alma. Alma helps you confidently accept insurance and gives you the tools to simplify your private practice. Scheduling, documentation, getting paid on time, and even continuing education opportunities. You also get access to a network of like-minded clinicians so that you're not building in isolation. Because when we get support for the work that we do, mental health care gets better for everyone. You can learn more about Alma and the awesome work they're doing over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. And if you go through that link, you get 2 months absolutely free just for STC listeners. That link again is over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. So in specific, what I'm saying is I love usually doing free webinars or free live streams. I love long form how-to guides. I love email courses. Those are the three things that I tend to focus the most on. And usually it's those high value assets that sell the online course on the at the end of that product. So for example, when we had our podcasting course, we often had a free podcasting webinar. And we still have that webinar, which you can check out at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. But at the end of that webinar is then I share an invitation to join the Healthcasters course. That's only after about 90 minutes of like high value teaching and quality teaching. Because for me, I think my perspective, and I know that all of us will resonate with this, which is I just believe in being helpful and valuable. My whole perspective is even if somebody's going to take the time to sign up for our free workshop, even if they don't sign up for our online course, I want them to walk away from that workshop being like, man, that was not a waste of time for me. The other thing I would just to share is, you know, I think a lot about in terms of the marketing. You know, a lot of colleagues will ask me, like, Mel, like, I'm interested in, you know, I want to be on social media because I know it's like important to growth and all these things. But how do I focus on, how do I figure out the which one do I focus on? I think the biggest thing I think about is building a library that works in your sleep. So that's particularly why I lean so heavily into audio podcasting, because I'm essentially creating a library of content. And more recently, we've, you know, focused so much on YouTube. And that's because essentially I'm not just creating one-off videos. I'm actually creating playlists and all sorts of content that can get found months and years later. And the third thing I would just share is you're competing with everything, not just other courses. So here's the thing. I feel like a fool for saying this, but I think when I launched, you know, my podcasting course, since then we've created three other courses. And with every one of them, there's a part of me, I'm like, man, you know, people are gonna, you know, I can't wait till people check this out and people are gonna have their undivided attention and in order to be able to check out my online course. But here's the reality, right? Your course isn't competing with just other courses. It's competing with a kid that needs you in the, you know, at a certain time of the day, a full clinical schedule, TikTok scrolls and Instagram and Netflix tab that is one click away. So here's the danger. You overteach, you overstuff, you assume more is better. But what your student actually needs with your online course is the clearest path from A to B. Your job is not to overwhelm with knowledge. Your job is to help them cross that bridge. And what I mean by this is I see so many of our colleagues, because many of us as clinicians, we're going to be creating niche online courses, usually based on a subset of a niche that we serve in our clinical work. And because of that, we have specialized expertise in something. And then there's this other side, which many clinicians, including me, struggle with, which is we worry if, you know, charging $500 or $750 or $1,000 for an online course, who is going to buy this? Like, do we have enough credibility? And so then the natural tendency then is, instead of thinking what's the simplest path to get from A to B, the simplest path then becomes, let me try to stuff this with as much content as possible so that I can relieve that internal anxiety that my course might not be good enough. And in terms of related to this, you know, how in the world do you keep the actual course content organized? I wanted to share a tool that we teach inside of our Haven community, which is our new community for therapists going from clinical to online income, with a specific emphasis on online courses, podcasting, YouTube, speaking, and writing. And instead of guessing what to cut or keep with regard to the lessons and the modules, we use a Miro board. So this is at Miro.com, M-I-R-O.com. And what this is essentially a digital board, a digital post-it board. And you can basically map every module and lesson. And what I would do is from there, bring in two or three trusted advisors. So one of them should be like an ideal course student. Two of them can be, the second person can be also an ideal course student, but, or it could be someone that is familiar with that niche that could give you some real feedback. And ask these folks, what's essential? What's fluff? Have them look at your mirror board and then ruthlessly cut or simplify it. This keeps you human-centered while honoring their bandwidth. I have a feeling, especially as AI continues to permeate so much knowledge and content creation, that the courses that are simple but elegant will do the best. Bonus tip before we wrap up is use gentle gamification to keep them going. So therapists, you know, when we are creating courses as clinicians, we're not like flashing lights and confetti type of people, but we do need to provide nudges that support our learners. So for example, within your online course, and many of these online course platforms now have built-in gamification, which is pretty amazing. So one really easy one is completion badges. So this is basically a small badge or an email that is auto-created when a module is done. It signals progress, which equals dopamine equals momentum. The second thing is private leaderboards or progress notes. When you log into the course and you've gone through certain videos, you can be like, it'll say like, you're ahead of 50% of learners, you're ahead of 70% of learners, just one more, or it could be just one lesson left this week. These sort of little motivation things, again, many of these are built into course platforms now. It reduces shame, it builds rhythm, it encourages micro wins without that needed stress. And the biggest things, and again, many of these course platforms have these built in. We use Kartra for our online courses and for our Haven community. And if you actually go through sellingthecouch.com/Kartra, there's a specific unique discount code there for Selling the Couch listeners. Just to be transparent, that's an affiliate link. So just to wrap up, the best courses aren't the deepest. They're the clearest, the most human, and the most doable. They meet the learner where they are and walk with them across that bridge. Now, if you are a clinician that already has an online course out there, or if you're already thinking like, Mel, I really want to get an online course out there, we have a free workshop that helps you think about your current or future online course in light of so many things with AI. It's called AI Proofing Your Online Course, and it's completely free to sign up. You can head over to sellingthecouch.com/AI webinar, sellingthecouch.com/AI webinar. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful, and just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.